Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you. Burgers are best fresh from the grill. Well, more specifically, burgers with Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. It's so rich and creamy that it instantly makes any burger irresistible. And what backyard barbecue is complete without some potato salad? Not just any potato salad, of course. Potato salad highlights the rich, creamy goodness of Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. So if you want to take your barbecue season to the next level, stock up on Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. For great recipe ideas, visit Hellmann's.com.
The Around the NFL podcast is going to Disney World.
From the Chris Wessling podcast studio, it's Around the NFL. We back, baby.
Oh, shoot.
I am Dan Hansis. That is Greg Rosenthal. That was not Mark Sessler's voice you just heard. I don't think that's Mark, but I can tell you who it is.
It's Connie Fox, y'all. It's Connie Fox,
what is this?
One Colleen Wolf.
Heroes with the news and all them locks, y'all. She got that Cardi flow. Married to Gonzo. She repping Philly and Miami, traveling all the globe. It's Colleen Wolf. The history is very, very rich.
Dang.
Not bad.
We should roll with this more often.
Was this an old submission?
No, I believe that was the runner-up.
Oh, yeah. I like this one.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll switch it up for this offseason.
Or we could play this one.
Jeremy Sharp.
Good job, Sharpie.
Yeah.
This one might be even better.
Oh, this was the one that Wes liked, right?
Yes. Others say it's Tiny Box, but no matter, you know who they mean. She's here today on ATN, talking with your favorite man, NFL's Lone Wolf. Her name's Colleen. Colleen Wolf.
Wes was legitimately upset.
All right, I think that it needs to be this one then.
Okay. Yeah, he was legitimately upset with me and you, even though you were the one choosing your own song.
Wes had very eclectic music taste, and maybe he was into bluegrass and country that particular
week. It has a John Denver-y flair to it.
Yes, we are back. Thank you to everybody for checking out all that Super Bowl content. That was a lot of Super Bowl content.
You guys were working.
Maybe too much. Maybe just about the right amount, Greggy? I don't know. But people seem to enjoy it.
I wanted more on Super Bowl night. Just like a little more.
Yeah, you know, people should know.
Until the police
just like the,
stepped in.
The to-be-continued ellipses, ... after we had to basically cut short our Super Bowl episode about, you know, let's say 7 or 8 minutes because we were told the police were pounding down the door. Greg and I and Mark get our stuff together. We're like, oh, my God, we got to get out. Swing open the door and a completely empty concourse.
right,
no security, no cops.
Did Graver make it up?
This is the first time we've seen Graver
since. They were coming into the studio multiple times speaking with aggressive voices, but then they left. I don't know.
Yeah, the sheriff with his big hat and like,
oh, go home, sheriff.
He like
was he on a horse too, like in the stadium?
Security came multiple times.
Oh yeah, that wasn't made up.
You gotta leave. You gotta leave. And then a sheriff showed up, and we were like,
I'm sorry, don't misconstrue what I'm saying, Greggy. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying when we swung that door open, it was literally, we could have been in there in the middle of March where the building was cleared completely. There was nobody there.
Tumbleweeds.
So where was this presence?
I thought it was like a SWAT team situation. When we got out there, we were going to have to duck underneath.
Go team, go. I thought we were going to open the door and the red like dots would be all like in the chest, one in the forehead.
Okay, that's just a little too much.
It was just like, what is going on? I'm sorry, Greg.
I'm glad you guys survived.
A little too much.
Man.
It's scary. Yeah, experience. No, we went to the field and we saw the Chiefs, you know, and the NFL employees were still enjoying that confetti, and it was a party.
It was. We went down there, got some confetti. Colleen, we would have had a chance.
I know.
To get you confetti, you had, and I said, Connie, a couple days before the game, you said, if you guys happen to get down on the field, grab me some green and white confetti.
Yeah.
And I said, that seems jinxy. And I'm not saying it jinxed.
I was trying to manifest good things.
How are you feeling now, 8 days clear?
I'm coming out of the darkness.
The big game.
It's been really tough, guys. I haven't really left my house or my couch. It's been even just like getting up in the morning and opening the blinds, taking a shower. Like that's pretty much it. That's what I can do. But I think today is the day.
I did smell something different.
Santal 33. Yeah.
You know, Connie, and this is why I don't know what that is. Is that a shampoo? Connie, because she's contractually obligated, did have to do a podcast with me 2 days after the Super Bowl, the Power Rankings podcast, which you could check out.
I loved it. I loved every minute of it.
And we did discuss at length, 48 hours later, post-mortem, where you felt. And I think I asked you, although I don't remember because a lot of things happened since then, where that stacks in terms of the worst losses of your fan life.
Oh, right.
Is that number one? Was that the toughest, as a sports fan, toughest loss?
For me personally, yes. Especially being there live, watching it, and to have the tide turn how it did. And for everything to be going in one direction so positively and with so much momentum, and then for all of it to come falling back down.
Maybe the best Eagles team ever, just like the team. I know they didn't finish it. So I think that makes sense. I don't even know what would be...
The roster was great. They were healthy. Losses, everything was going.
Big lead at halftime. Right. Mahomes limping to the locker room.
Yep.
By the way, NFL Films did come through. Talked about this on the Sunday Night Show. His NFL Films moment, the slow motion run on that scramble to get into field goal range. Great job with the music and everything. The Sable Gang always comes through. That was obviously anticlimactic, the ending, as we talked about. But
I know.
But. The game itself was tremendous. And to your credit, you texted in the middle of that madness. I think you were down 35-27 at that point and said, this is like the best game ever or something along those
lines. It still was one of the greatest.
I would have been throwing up in my mouth if it was the Jets. I wouldn't be texting anyone.
I was trying to just like keep it together at that point. And I was like, when things are falling apart, I text you guys usually. So that's nice. What was happening.
Have you found yourself avoiding like the NFL film stuff?
Yes, of course.
I you know what I found on Monday? I'm not an Eagles fan, but I have been rooting for them off and on this podcast quite a bit. In general, over the last 6 or 7 years, I have a friend that works there and everything. And the day of, you're always just enjoying the game. It's fun for us to cover the Super Bowl. It's great to be there. I still love like Patrick Mahomes and like it's all there. And then the next morning, I was like, I felt like they were not my team, but I was disappointed. I didn't want to see any of it.
The airport was tough when I saw the champion the shirts with the Chiefs gear.
I feel your pain.
Greg, you're into managing your brand, and you could have had the Eagles over Chiefs Super Bowl prediction. You could have had it. It was all there for both you guys.
It was.
And I was just someone just watching it all, soaking it in.
Nice for you.
Oh, it's great for me to be an NFL fan, yeah. I will say, like, my whole stance going into the game with Patrick Mahomes, who's not a jet killer, he's just this great quarterback who's in a faraway division, and I enjoy his career more. It's no Tom Brady situation for me. Like, it's fun rooting for greatness. It's kind of how, like, I always rooted for LeBron all through his career, especially those against the mega teams, like the Warriors teams. And that was my favorite, like, non-personal favorite team game ever was Game 7 of the 16 Finals, where LeBron had the iconic block. And it was just like, here's this dude, an all-time great, perhaps the greatest, and if he's not the greatest, he's in the top five, taking on the superior outfit and willing his team to victory. Kind of some of those vibes here with Mahomes beating the Eagles.
Yeah.
Because I think the Eagles were a better team, but Mahomes is maybe the greatest ever.
No, so the Chiefs won. The Chiefs won the Super Bowl, everyone. And here we are. All right, let's get this episode going.
And that's another episode of the Around the NFL podcast. Thank you, Colleen, for joining us.
We can contain multitudes. We can appreciate the Chiefs while being disappointed. How was your week? You went to Big Bear.
I went to Big Bear this weekend with my throwback podcast partner, Bob.
Oh, wow.
The families.
As he walked into the studio today.
It would have been weird
today.
If it was just you and Bob.
He said it was good. It was big for the bear.
Big Bear was big for the bear, the old Zeuser. I posted a photo in the mountains. I got a lot of pop on the gram, so I'm feeling good about myself right now. And
was that you with like a Bud Light or something?
It was a Modelo.
Okay.
Which our overseas listeners are like, got yourself a real beer, mate. It's like, all right, calm down. I don't even really like beer, but I had one, I enjoyed it. I like those lagers, those Mexican lagers.
Mm.
But the kids were sledding and building big fires in the nice house that we all got together and, you know, spending good times.
This is a great model shot. This is it right here.
Oh, my God. It's definitely in portrait mode.
Oh, yeah.
He's looking off to the side in the distance.
John Denver's
playing. The hair's curly. I like it when you let it get curly.
My partner, my personal partner, Bob, took that photo as well. In the woods together. It's like the third episode of The Last of Us.
Before we get to the football, I did want to mention I was at dinner, and I did text you guys about this, but for the listeners, I was at dinner on Sunday night, great dinner. At the end of the dinner, and it had great service the whole time, Mien, it was in West Adams. Amazing food, by the way. Amazing.
What kind of food is that?
You're my food. I'm going to eat you. Chinese, but like spicy beef noodle soup and like crazy spicy hot and sour soup and amazing dumplings. There's a few all over. The original's in San Gabriel.
People don't know, Greg's a big foodie.
Especially big spicy soup.
His wife, retired chef, but still in her bones.
Yes. And at the end of the meal, he said, I just want to let you know, I'm a big fan of the show.
After the meal.
Wow.
After the meal, right as we're leaving, after we pay for the check, I'm a big fan of the show. And, you know, I'm sorry what happened to Wes. I was a really big fan of Chris. I grew up near Tybee. He either had lived near Tybee or he had grown up near Tybee. And he said that, and it was Chris's birthday.
Wow.
And it just felt like, I don't know, I immediately texted Keith too afterwards. Just like it felt like it was like Chris saying hello on his birthday to me.
Because
nothing like that had ever happened on any meal or any day. And for that to happen on Chris's birthday
that
was
awesome.
And the same, and we were texting with Lakeisha. She had some like personal news, like really good news for herself and her family that came out on the same weekend. Happy birthday, Christopher Wessling. So that's good,
and
though.
Greg.
That's nice, though. And Greg. Oh, it was your birthday, too?
We share a birthday,
That's right.
And we share it with Roger Goodell, too. So,
I'm Raj.
Yeah, happy birthday to Raj.
You are 44?
I am, yeah.
Good work. Congratulations.
It's getting up there. It's getting up there. I'm 42, so now 2 years difference between us.
Until, your birthday in like 4 months. When is it? No.
Well, I can't get mad at you. I didn't realize it was your birthday this weekend. April 23rd.
2 months. 2 months. I blew it. It's mid to late off season.
Yeah. My birthday is many times fallen on night one of the draft, or or in the old days, it's your birthday, get on the plane and fly cross country for the draft. Those things.
I can't imagine how awful that is. January 2nd is a great day to have a birthday.
Oh, bad beat.
Bad beat. My mom's birthday was up. Yeah, we occasionally, I think it only happened once or twice, but have a birthday together, Wes and I, at the Combine. I remember doing shots with Wes at our first Combine together.
I think that we have a photo of that.
Just joined the company.
Because you guys were not, you were bedfellows in many ways, like Bob and I. But you weren't, like Wes was kind of like a power drinker and he would party. That is not you, but the fact that you had a shot, Greg was probably feeling a little loose.
That means Greg is
we had a bunch that night. Yeah. That was a wild night.
Got to get Greg. Just one night this offseason, Connie. Let's get Greg drunk.
I've seen him very close.
Let's get him drunk, though.
That's fine. Yes.
Let's do it.
Challenge
all
accepted.
Right,
I'm in.
Let's pick a day.
Okay.
And do it. All right, let's get into.
Should we do a podcast?
Yeah, let's do a podcast.
Stop. Stop.
We're just catching up.
This is the podcast right here. No, it literally is. So we're going to get through all the news that's happened in the past week plus. I do want to, as a way to get into things, a reintroduction. Hi, hello, how are you? I want you guys to share with me what is like the big off-season story before we hit the news. that you're like excited about? Like, my name is Dan. I'm a Taurus.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's hear your story.
My off-season story that I'm most interested in, non-Jets related, but kind of related, Lamar Jackson. I want to say that the reason I say it is because I feel like we got a little bit wrong. The last like big quote unquote update on Lamar when Harbaugh came out in the presser and DaCosta, you know, and they said the 200% chance he's back. And on this show, we were like, oh, well, that's, you know, it sounds like that thing's settled down. Everything's going to be fine there. They'll figure out something. And then to the point when we had Bridget on the show,
yeah,
which is
increasingly
looking like maybe a bad decision, not the right choice. Nobody even brought up the Lamar situation as something that we should look in and get a projection on. Because, again, I think this podcast was kind of like, oh, the Ravens are going to get it done. Some more of the like news you're hearing that's trickling out, and it sounds like this is very much still open to Lamar ending up somewhere else. Peter King was on Eisen's show last week, and, you know, King's plugged in. He was throwing out, you know, the what can happen, including Greggy. The possibility that the Ravens give Lamar the tag, but not the exclusive tag, and then allow him to negotiate with another team who could then set the terms of the negotiation. And if the Ravens choose not to match, they get two first-round picks. And I'm thinking to myself, the Ravens didn't even go that far to let him go talk to other teams. Things could get dicey.
Yeah, our colleague, the Pellraiser, Tom Pelissero, had a similar-ish report, basically saying on Super Bowl Sunday, there's a bunch of different ways they could attack it, that they're expected to place the franchise tag. But I tend to think when these reports come out that there's some information from the team coming, and it does feel like they're at least willing to entertain what could happen. Now, if I was them, I would place the exclusive tag on it.
Yeah.
And you can still figure out a trade potentially if you are open to doing that.
I think they would be crazy.
Two first round picks doesn't feel like enough. You know what
I mean? No, but okay. So what would be, probably wouldn't be a 3 first round pick thing, but what was the Russell Wilson trade? I feel like that would be someone, obviously it looks silly now with how Wilson played,
right?
But I think that was 2 firsts. I think maybe a second.
2 twos.
Yep.
A fifth.
Right.
And they also got
and there were players involved.
And Noah Fant,
Drew Lock, Shelby Harris. It was a first and a second in 2 drafts.
Maybe something considering what the money, the guaranteed, the contract. That seems somewhat close then if it's a 2 first-round pick. Then the Ravens don't have to be involved with the negotiation. And they could know for sure like what he's asking, that there's teams willing to go that far in terms of the guaranteed money. We're told reportedly it's $100 million apart right now.
They
got to
know.
Money.
Wow.
Well, that makes sense to me. So there's been reports that like they were offering 130 guaranteed.
And how much did Deshaun Watson get guaranteed? I think it was 230. There it is.
He wants a fully guaranteed contract.
That's how the sausage.
Because
gets
like married. Why wouldn't you?
Right.
Right.
Because here's like the Ravens don't need to find out if a team is willing to. There are multiple teams willing to.
And he's still negotiating his own stuff, right?
I have no question. Well, his mom.
Right.
And they do have like a lawyer. You know, but it's essentially he's his own agent.
Yeah.
And Mark is not in, obviously, today. But it would perhaps bring him some comfort to realize that, and we heard this from people like Steve Weiss told us about this, that after the Watson-Browns contract was done, which was unprecedented in terms of the guaranteed money, it was fully guaranteed, owners were not happy across the league. It's like, that's going to set a precedent. Guess what? The Ravens or the Browns are kind of sticking it to the Ravens now because they're getting their feet held to the fire by what the Browns did with that Watson guy. So there you go. Everything's even now. Even Steven.
How about that?
I mean, they're still stuck with Deshaun Watson and need to make that work.
Yikes. Well, that's a whole separate thing.
But yes if I'm Lamar and Kyler Murray's guaranteed money is what? What was he at? 160?
Right.
He's at 160 and the Ravens are offering 130. I totally am with him playing this thing out because the reality is there are multiple teams I think that would just give him a fully guaranteed contract because that's what it would take to get him.
Yeah. I mean, you can't get anywhere in this league if you don't have a quarterback, and they have one right now, so keep him.
But, yeah.
Your Jets being one of them, maybe.
They could be one of them. How about you, Greggy?
Okay, I got a little more specific. So I'm starting to do the top 101 list.
Who are you,
by
the way? Reintroduce yourself
to the
audience.
I'm Greg Rosenthal.
Right.
I was born on February 19th, 1979. That makes me and Chris and Raj a Pisces, but we're like a cusp.
Also so, a Gen X, whereas I am a geriatric millennial as a 1980 baby.
But we're like, I'm with you. I think Gen X fits better, but we're also like, we don't really fit the Gen X thing totally either. Right. We're a little too young for that.
Tough. Bubble babies.
But we're Pisces.
Gen X is just like a lost generation.
What's before Pisces? Because we're like cusp babies where we sort of have that like cool laid back dreamer vibe. But sure. Since we're like right on the cusp, we've also got that
Capricorn?
Like get stuff got done vibe too. So it's
all hokum anyway.
Oh, yeah.
No, I kind of believe in that more than anything else. Relatively.
Yes, Justin.
Also a Pisces. Just wanted to.
Who?
Me. I wanted to join the party.
No wonder.
Did we miss your birthday
Pisces
too?
Pisces just vibe.
No, my birthday
you know,
is
good vibes.
Coming up.
Oh.
March 7th.
Okay.
Forget it, though. I don't need any.
He doesn't want any gifts.
I don't need any attention or anything on my birthday. I'll just be quiet, and that's fine.
Thank you, Justin.
I don't know what's happening.
You're going to get plenty of attention on that birthday.
Aquarius is before. And my off-season storyline.
I was wondering.
I mean, if you go out of your way to break into the podcast to say, hey, heads up. also a Pisces, and here is my birthday.
No, I just wanted to like join the Pisces party.
Right,
a fun party.
Right,
it is fun. Where were we?
I don't know. Now we got to plan up celebration for Graver.
What do you believe in?
I'm
or
Greg.
What are you talking about?
I'm Greg.
Exactly.
I'm a Pisces, and I'm working on a top 101 free agents list due first draft tomorrow.
Put that on the dating profile right at the top.
Yeah. And I'm interested in how Colleen's Philadelphia Eagles are going to handle this offseason because I think this is one of the best front offices in the league. Howie Roseman is amazing.
Howie, motherfucker.
They also have assistant general manager Alec Hallaby, who's been there and been spearheading their analytics department and getting like a new promotion each and every year. And it's kind of their secret sauce, I feel like, there, who's been there a long time. And I look at them, and I feel like they're the most interesting team in the entire offseason because you have that Jalen Hurts contract sitting out there. Mm-hmm. But you also have a million free agents. I'm doing this 101 list, and it's like, oh, okay, here's the Eagle. Oh, here's another Eagle. Here's another Eagle. It's mostly on defense where you have
Hargrave,
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. You have James Bradbury, who's more famous than he was a few weeks ago, but
TJ
was a
Edwards.
Really good pickup. Marcus Epps, who's a starter. Javon Hargrave, who's my number three overall free agent. You have the guys that you identify with the Eagles more than anyone, Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox. Oh, by the way, you have your two starting linebackers, Kaiser White and TJ Edwards, who I think they can replace, but they both played well. And you think, okay, you're basically restarting on defense. But you still have Isaac Seumalo, who's a starting guard. You have Miles Sanders, like Minshew's their backup quarterback. It's just everywhere. And normally you'd panic a little bit.
I'm feeling...
You're triggering Colleen.
Okay, here's the reason why...
I'm not in my throat. I feel like someone's sitting on my chest.
Here's the reason why I'm so excited. They are not a like, oh, woe is me. All this stuff is happening to us. They are going to be aggressive. I think they could make a lot of trades. They are going to restructure. I think they are a team when you look at them and think like, oh, all this is happening. How much can they even hold on to? They'll actually be among the most aggressive teams in trading and picking up new free agents just because that's who they are, even with the Jalen Hurts contract out there. So I think defensively, they could be as aggressive as any team out there. We thought that they were in trouble last offseason, like in terms of like, oh, they've got a lot to do. And look at all they added, including Hassan Reddick, including Gardner-Johnson, Bradbury. And I just think they are going to be major players over the next few weeks. And I'm fascinated because I think they make so many good moves.
I feel like I didn't hear a whole lot of the last part that you said because I'm going through the names.
Their offense is basically set, and even losing all those guys on defense, they still have a lot to like.
All right.
Yeah, and I think Howie, mother effer, deserves the benefit of the doubt at this point to know the best way to play this. I think they're going to be fine. And do you see the way that quarterback played?
I mean, Jalen Hurts looked great.
That dude's a stud.
I know.
He can get $50 million a year.
He's going to get paid.
And then that changes the salary structure again. So there is a window.
That's what hurts,
There's
though.
A window.
That's what hurt me
still
more.
Good.
It hurt
what?
Me more after, like, seeing him grow, for him to have one of the best performances in a Super Bowl I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And someone responded, like, this has to be right there with Brady against the Eagles and Warner against the Steelers as, like, the best performances ever by a quarterback who lost. And I was like, yes, that's true. But I also think it's just one of the best performances by a quarterback. When I did rewatch just the Eagles offense, like the coach's film, just because I wanted to see how he did. And like, that was the best game of his life. It was the best game of his life.
You can't take out that he gave them 6 points.
Right, which is probably.
I'm saying he played beautifully. I'm just saying, if you want to start talking about best game ever, he had a turnover that produced a huge touchdown.
Probably why it's like not the best performance by a quarterback ever, and it's just right there with Brady and Warner, and you know they didn't have that huge negative plays, but he also had I think PFF had him as 5 or 6 big time throws in that game, by far a career high. Like among, I think it was right there behind 1 or 2 games by any quarterback all year of the most of any quarterback in any game. And oh, by the way, he also rushed for 3 touchdowns and ran for 94 yards. So yes, there is that negative, but it's like it was a crazy performance. I really think it was the best game he's ever played in his life.
He was awesome in the game. That turnover, maybe it's you can't really play it that way, but maybe that's the reason they lost.
But it's also bad luck too. Like it was totally on him that he dropped it, but he happened to kick it backwards, and then they pick it up and run backwards.
2 earmuffs, Connie. I think if they don't throw the flag on the 3rd down, Mahomes' best. I think they win the game.
Sure.
I think they go down the field and score, just because I think Hurts was completely locked in at that point.
You've lost me for the show.
All right, just let's okay. try to move past it. But I think Greg's overall conceit is trust the organization to reload and be ready.
Trust the process.
Trust the process.
Okay. All right. I'm back. Okay, guys. Hello. My name is Colleen Wolf, but I mostly identify as Connie Fox.
Right.
Also. Tiny
and sometimes,
box.
Yeah.
And you know what I remember today? Icebox was my nickname in college, and I totally forgot about that.
Why?
Icebox. Was an Icebox?
In Little Giants.
Little Giants.
Figure skater?
I don't know why they called me Icebox.
She was like a burly linebacker type.
That was me in college.
Wait, it wasn't because you were a figure skater?
Burly linebacker. Maybe it was because I was a figure skater. Okay. That makes more sense.
That would make sense.
Yeah. Unless I hadn't seen the movie at the time.
That must have been eye-opening.
I don't really connect. But
unless you saw the movie, you're like,
hey.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's me. Cool. So I think the robots have already taken over. So that obviously is the only way that you could explain Tank, the dog, and the dog bite.
Right.
It must have been a robot.
It's been a big couple of weeks for AI.
Yeah,
it's popping right now.
Yeah.
It's popping off big time.
And the off-season storyline I'm most interested in is, I have a bunch here because I couldn't, there's so many that it was hard to even pick with all of the different quarterbacks moving around. And you have Sean Payton now with the Broncos, how he makes over that whole place. I'm interested in the Niners quarterback situation with Brock Purdy and Trey Lance. But I think the thing I'm most intrigued in is Hard Knocks 2023.
What?
Stupid.
Who will it be? Who will it be? Because, you know,
the most.
There's only 4 teams that can do it.
Right. Well, other teams can volunteer, but you're right. What are the 4 teams?
The 4 teams. Now, first of all, the teams need to have not made the postseason in 2 straight seasons. They need to have the same head coach for at least 2 years. Mm-hmm. And they need to have not been featured on Hard Knocks in over a decade. Mm-hmm.
I wrote that boilerplate 47 times on our website.
Perfect. Yeah. So you should know that by heart.
Yep.
The teams are the Bears, the Saints, the Commanders, and the Jets.
Yeah. If the Jets ended up with one of these big quarterbacks, I could see Woody being on a power trip and just being like,
let's put us on that show too. Like, let's go.
Let's just win the offseason, quote unquote. Mm-hmm.
He did it before when they were hot.
Yep.
When Rex was there.
We'll get to Rex later too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
that's late March. Like, hey, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
Derek Carr.
That announcement's coming
fine.
Up soonish, I believe.
I just checked. It happened in late March last year, but that was, I think, a late one.
Mm. Yeah, I was thinking more in terms of just like this month.
I don't need the Commanders, the Saints.
No.
What's the other? Bears could be interesting.
I want the Jets.
I'd be okay with
that. That's for me.
I would watch that. that's your the thing you're looking forward to most this entire offseason.
I also, like, this is more of a, like, sentimental one, but D'Angelo Hall being named the new DB coach in Carolina is, like, something that I am so freaking excited about. I'm so happy for him. Like, I almost started crying because I'm upset that, like, we're losing him. And
you worked
with
him a lot.
I worked with him on the Saturday morning show that we had when it was Good Morning Football Weekend.
Right.
And that show with Michael Robinson and Mike Garofolo was so much fun. We were a little family, just like ATN is
like,
a little family.
More fun than us?
She had a lot of fun on that show. She talks about it a lot.
I love all of my kids equally, all right? Okay. All of my children.
Well, we were the answer we were looking for, but okay.
But he has been, since the moment I met D'Angelo, he's been talking about how he wanted to get into coaching, or he wanted to get into a front office, and that was his dream, and he's going to chase it, and he finally got the opportunity, and it's so well-deserved, and he's such a good guy, and I just can't wait to see him shine.
That makes a lot of sense. I would have thought that his dream was listening to Dan and I, like, crack jokes behind him as we watched, like, a boring Sunday night football games in the film room, and he was ready to do that show with Chris Rose.
Yeah, I always I was always looking to, like, break the ice with D'Angelo during the season, and if we just would have known, I never connected the dots on the Good Morning Football Weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
If I just would have name dropped Connie Fox, it would have been...
That would have been it.
We would have been, like, thick as thieves.
That's your key.
In the back row.
Yep.
Well,
like, I feel like he's, like, my brother. Yeah.
Seems like a nice guy to
me. He's great.
Greg was trying to, like, he kept on, like, trying to bring D'Angelo in, like a Kayvon thing. Like, hey, we're friends, right?
What are you doing?
But it was like, Greg,
we sat next to each other at the Talent Summit, so we had, you know, a lot of great.
That is a big bonding experience.
Oh, that's huge. I've sat next to Jeremiah twice, and it had the opposite effect.
Oh, no.
So it goes either way.
Yeah.
Right, right.
All right, let's take a break, and then we'll get caught up on the news.
It's backyard barbecue season, so light up the charcoal or fire up the propane and throw some burgers on the grill. Some people like cheeseburgers, others like hamburgers, and people will argue about pickles until the cows come home. But there's one thing that needs no debate: Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. It's so rich and creamy that it instantly makes any burger irresistible. You add Hellmann's, and boom, next level burgers, it's that easy. And then there's the side that every backyard burger cries out for: potato salad. Do you want to know the best secret ingredient? You've probably already guessed it. Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. There are two kinds of potato salad: deliciously irresistible, rich and creamy potato salad, and potato salad made without Hellmann's. It's up to you what you want to serve. For great recipe ideas, visit Hellmann's.com.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand, it's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products, it's about the ethos that we embody: rugged, resilient, and timeless.
All right, welcome back. Let's do some news.
What's up? Hey! What's up, man? How you doing? Good. Good.
Shoo, 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 shoo.
Shots. Explosives. Explosives. You can run.
I feel like we're post, especially after your friend Nick Sirianni, Connie, we're post won the press conference and trying to make snap judgments on coaches. So I'm not going to do that. That was Jonathan Gannon, former DC of the Eagles, who is now the head coach of the Cardinals. And that was his first face-to-face meeting captured on social media. Who was it with?
Rondale Moore.
Rondale Moore. And what exactly was going on there for the audience that's just hearing the audio, which is bonkers?
He just walked up to Rondale and they like sort of dapped, and it was an awkward like white dap, obviously.
Right. We do our best, but it doesn't always land.
It's tough. Yeah. And then all of a sudden he
speaks.
So after they do their like little hug and whatnot, then he looks Rondale up and down and then pauses because there's just like an awkward silence. And then he just starts going, shots, 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 woo, over here. And just like moving.
Like with exaggerated like, hand movements and everything.
Yeah, like all of the different things that Rondale could do, I guess.
I'm guessing. Like in patterns and running. Okay.
But like there was no context to it. And he didn't even say that. I don't know. Maybe he did after the clip ended that we saw, but it was the most awkward interaction
Rondale
I've
was
ever
kinda
seen.
Looking at him like he had an elbow growing out of his forehead.
Like what a first impression.
Well, there was that, and there's also a video of like he finds out that Kyler Murray's back in the weight room when he's just about leaving for the airport, and Gannon just starts running. He's like, he's in there? He's in there? And then the camera follows him, and people thought this was staged, but I really don't think so. And he gets up to Kyler, and he just starts clapping as much as he can is all fired up. And I watched the press conference, and he's got a lot of energy, that Jonathan Gannon. That's my takeaway. And a lot of energy.
Wow.
I'll take it. I like
and
it.
And we're learning. You know,
people
we're learning.
Loved it, actually. I don't think he lost this one. I think the Cardinals fans were kind of like, sweet, it's not like a vaguely depressed
robotic
Cliff Kingsbury. No offense to Cliff, but he always gave off like kind of a low energy affect.
And that's a very standard firing cycle. You get a guy that's totally different. Gannon is different. I mean, he did catch some criticism in Philly, Connie. We've talked about that on the show. But at the end of the day, he takes over as head coach.
It was a rough final game.
It was.
Jonathan
oh, my
Gannon.
Gosh. And he took a pay cut, too,
very similar
to take the job there.
Reminds me a lot of now I was going to say Matt Patricia.
Oh, Patricia. That's who I was thinking of.
Who, you know, got blasted by the Eagles.
Right.
In
How'd
the
that
Super
work
Bowl
out?
And then on his way to taking that Lions job.
So is that a
I don't think that's a bad that's I don't think it matters, but it's not
I
a good
think
sign.
Gannon it's a tricky job, and you take a chair of 32 when you can get it. But this year seems like it's gonna be a very rough year for Arizona, with Murray probably out at least until the midpoint of the season and maybe longer than that. Hopefully the Cardinals play this the right way and give Gannon a little bit of grace here to get the organization set up before Kyler comes back in full the season after.
Right.
But who knows? I don't know. It's hard to say what's going on with the Cardinals. I know they've made some big changes now in the front office, and obviously now getting the Kingsbury out of the building as well. Do I totally trust that organization to get things right? I can't say I do right now.
I feel like the trust has been lost.
They always do these articles like, which is the best job and the worst job? And I never liked that because it's impossible to figure out and they're all good jobs. But I think the Cardinals is the hardest job. I think he'll have some rope because I think their roster is a bigger mess than the other four jobs that are available. Everything's wrong with that roster almost, like offensive line. The defense is a total disaster. Murray's hurt. Like, there's not much to build around.
And J.J. Watt's gone now.
He hired
Eagles linebackers coach.
Yeah, he hired Nick Rallis, who's 29 years old, as his defensive coordinator. That's cool. He's a defensive coach anyway, so I'm less focused on that. The Browns quarterbacks coach, Drew Petzing, is their new offensive coordinator. And he was a guy that, like, had some good buzz around the league as just like a smart young mind. So he might turn out to be a great coach, but he's a 35-year-old, and that's a huge hire because Gannon is not an offensive guy.
In other hiring news, the Colts finally completed their head coaching search, and Shane Steichen, the Eagles offensive coordinator. So obviously what Greg was saying about the Eagles, it's a big offseason. They have to replace both their coordinators. He takes over as the new head coach. Makes sense. He replaces Jeff Saturday, who is the interim coach. This is a team that ranked 30th in points per game, 27th in offensive yards per game. The quarterback position was a god-awful mess. Jonathan Taylor was hurt all year, and now Steichen is asked to make things all better. Here's a little bit of Steichen's opening press conference remarks.
Thank you to Nick Sirianni. I appreciate everything you've done as a head football coach. It was a pleasure to work with you again these past two seasons. It was a hell of a ride and one I'll cherish forever. But more importantly, the friendship that we built over the last 9 years. Thank you. Thank you to the players I've had the privilege to be around and coach. Thank you to Philip Rivers. I can't say enough about how much you've had impact on me as a coach. So many great memories together, and couldn't be more thankful for our friendship. Thank you to Antonio Gates, Keenan Allen, Justin Herbert, and most recently, thank you to A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Quez Watkins, Zach Pascal, Dallas Goedert, Jack Stoll, Grant Calcaterra, Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, Kenny Gainwell, Jordan Mulata, Landon Dickerson, Jason Kelsey, oh Isaac Suamala, Lane Johnson, Ian Book, Gardner Minshew,
better be on this
and last
list.
But not least, Jalen Hurts.
Did he go all 53?
Thank you to each and every single one of you guys.
If you're not on that list.
I would not be sitting here today if it wasn't for you. It's all about the players, and it'll always be about the players.
The sniffs were covering up the other players that he didn't answer.
So, I mean, I think saying Gardner Minshew is the reason why he's there is not true. So I think that this man is there you go.
Now, I think
he was emotional, Dan. Leave him alone.
I think leaving Quez out would have been fine.
You guys are brutal.
I would have just named.
I'm angry.
They had what, like 11 Pro Bowlers? Like, just name the Pro Bowlers.
Oh, well, he was naming the offensive guys. Yeah, you saw a lot. You know who it reminded me of a little bit was Jamal Williams, in the sense that like he was incredibly emotional, and I like that. And if you continue to watch the press conference, he sort of pivoted to like a really hard driving, smoldering.
Boom.
Cesslerian intensity, mm-hmm. like behind the eyes, just hell like yeah. a lot of intensity. So it went from like love, which I like that. He's in touch with the emotions,
sure.
but also the intensity of a football coach.
So did he win the press conference?
I mean, I liked it.
He won it.
I like, there's so many parallels to Frank Reich with this hiring too. I mean, the Colts hire another Eagles offensive coordinator coming off a Super Bowl appearance, someone who has a rep for developing quarterbacks. And it's sort of funny that Steichen comes from working under Nick Sirianni, who came originally from the Colts. So it's all so very kind of incestuous, but he'll be calling the plays for what quarterback? Who knows yet? That's obviously a
maybe
big
Phillip
question
Rivers.
That needs to be answered.
It's funny. He brought up Phil Rivers, and I was like, we got to get Phil back in the mix. I don't, maybe not
Ursay,
a player at this point. But
Ursay said Phil had a lot of input. He used the word lot of
really?
Input into the hiring just because he was like, this guy, as much as any coach I've ever been with, is a genius in terms of he doesn't need the play sheet in front of him. He can look at what's happening on the field and then call, like for Phil Rivers to say that, Jim Irsay said, held a lot of weight. Just like that this guy really understands the quarterback position as much as anyone I've ever
been
around. He's
just got to get like those 16 kids out of elementary school.
That's
and
it.
And then maybe he'll come back.
Easy.
We'll see him on the sideline in a bolo tie. All right, we're talking about the Super Bowl this year. Last year's Super Bowl, of course, the Rams were the champions, and a lot of bad things have happened since then. Jalen Ramsey is one of their many high-priced superstar players. On Twitter, he floated the idea and quickly deleted it that he could be traded. Like, I won't be cut. Now, traded, I can't say. And then immediately deleted, but the internet remembers. And then Kevin Demoff, our buddy, the COO of the Rams, spoke on Ramsey and his future with Los Angeles.
Jalen's been a huge piece of what we've done. And I think for all of our players, it's going to be about figuring out what's best moving forward. But when you are a team like the Rams who's had success, we have a lot of great players. People are always inquiring about our talent. And it's not just Jalen. We get calls on all of our good players.
That brings to mind the famous Jamal Adams wanted out of New York because the phone was picked up when someone called. The high-ranking front office official saying, hey, people are calling and we're answering the phone. Maybe it does happen. He didn't have a very good year this year, Greggy.
I think he played a lot better down the stretch. I mean, PFF would tell you that he was the second best cornerback in the league to Sauce. I think the last five or six games he was pretty dominant. Not people weren't too locked into the
they were like
the
eight
Rams.
Games under by then, but he
right.
but he's the first year didn't make the Pro Bowl.
Yeah,
and
he gave up a lot
yeah.
of big plays. They asked him to do a lot. I think he'd have extremely high trade value, and he just feels like they don't have a lot of moves. They're almost like an NBA team that it's like you only have so many assets at a certain point with the cap and this and that, and like they need to do a lot. And they feel like maybe Ramsey, based on that answer, could be someone that gets them back into the draft mix, that they can get a couple firsts back for him.
What a plot twist that would be. Les Snead acquiring draft picks this time of year.
It's time, man.
You don't answer that question if you're Demoff that way unless you're very comfortable with other teams. You know, you want to hear what other teams will offer.
I like the Twitter recruitment, too. Like, it's kind of spicy. Amon Ross St. Brown is trying to get him to come to Detroit. And then Micah Parsons just like shot out. I'm sorry, no one's going from LA to Detroit.
Right.
Okay.
By the way, that was Bridget Condon, the interview with a friend and friend of the show.
She's the only Bridget I like.
At a Rams event. Yes. The human Bridgets are the ones we prefer. And we were at a Super Bowl event, Greggy, where Demoff was nearby around. We were belly up at a bar and tried to get his attention. Couldn't get his attention. And I think,
what were you doing to try to get his attention?
I mean, is that even
true?
Waving. Now you're making this
and
up.
And I was like,
you're making this up.
I was like, is it because I had the Rams too low in the power rankings during the playoffs last year? Is Kevin, is he still upset about
probably.
It?
Probably. He's I like, think wakes up just, in the middle of the night.
It was a very, crowded party.
Yes.
And we were going to go over and talk to him. Mm-hmm. And then we went and looked and he was gone. But I don't remember any waving that
year. You don't remember because it didn't happen. But I looked over at him and I was hoping we would make eye contact.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. Took it
Sorry
personal.
To hear that.
Yeah. And I took that personally, little Michael Jordan. In other news, Derek Carr, how about that? He's living the life right now because, yes, the Raiders didn't want him, but a lot of other teams do. And the nature of how this played out, I liked how he played it at the end. He met with the Saints, and there was a framework of a trade, and then he went to the Raiders. I don't know if this was done for revenge or just part of the game or whatever, but he's like, actually, no, I'm not going to accept a trade to New Orleans or anywhere else. So you have to release me, Raiders, and which they did because there was going to be a major bonus coming a couple of weeks back. So now he's a free agent, and it's an incredibly nice setup for him, Connie, because all the other guys that are set to become free agents, they have to wait for the new league year. So he has this long runway where he is the belle of the ball. He has talked with the Saints. He met with the Jets this weekend. There's another team in the mix.
Panthers maybe, but like Frank Reich wasn't really.
He met at an Italian restaurant. My buddy Mike back in Jersey lives in Summit, so it's a very nice restaurant. And it was Sala. It was Joe Douglas. It was Derek Carr. And then David Carr's brother. Who once, he was the axis of a truce between around the NFL and Derek Carr, who had once blocked us and no more. David Carr, who works for this network, talked about the process for Derek.
And we knew he would love Robert Saleh. I've known Robert for a while. MJ knows Robert. He's fantastic, and they hit it off, and they would love to work together. But there's a lot of questions that have to be asked. I think the most important thing for him as a veteran quarterback, what is it going to be like as an offensive play caller and a quarterback in that relationship? Todd Downing is there. He has a relationship with Todd. Nathaniel Hackett is also there. So how does all that work? Yeah. And they had a good chat. They talked about a lot of different things. And obviously the team is just in need of a quarterback and some stability there. They have a lot of good components. There's a lot of things that are very positive about the Jets. He had a great trip, so.
That was on Total Access. Connie, like David Carr, kind of interesting thing. Obviously, his brother, former player himself, but now he's his like brother's spokesperson in the media for this, which is kind of a funny, somewhat tricky thing to navigate because he's an analyst.
And I find myself hanging on every single word that he says,
trying
to analyze any little pause or inflection that he might have when he's talking about his brother's decision. And it sounds like he's saying that he wants to take some time to make sure it's right. Obviously, it sounds like he wants to maybe go to the Jets because that would be a good fit for him. But the Jets are maybe waiting for Aaron Rodgers' decision. That seems like the first domino that needs to fall before any of this can be decided. But it's nice that Derek Carr has this time right now before any of the other free agents that he could sign with a team in theory and then take advantage of that time to recruit other free agents to come and then help him out as well. So he does have that luxury, but I guess everything kind of is just hinging on what Aaron Rodgers
feels like.
It
feels like the Jets want to see if they get Rodgers, and if they can't, then maybe they'll go get Derek Carr, and I think that would probably be the best outcome for Derek Carr would be the Jets. I'm a little annoyed by what the Saints did bringing him in, and then they asked him to take a pay cut. It's like
that play against smarter than that.
It's like That's a broke boy behavior right there. Broke franchise behavior. You got this salary cap issue that they always manage to finagle, and that they bring him in, they wine him and dine him. They're like, if you were gonna just ask him to take a pay cut to make the trade happen the whole time, just wait until he gets cut, because you were totally misreading the market. Yeah. I think they thought that he would be happy to, like, okay, you can come here and, like, get $20 million or whatever. It's going to be somewhere in between, like, a backup and, like, a real starter. And to me, that's totally misreading the market. Derek Carr's going to get paid. Mm. Derek Carr's maybe not going to take any pay cut at all. He might end up doing quite well in this scenario, because there's only so many quarterbacks that are available. I don't think Geno's going to be one of them. There's way more teams than there are quarterbacks right now. And I think Derek Carr is going to be the number two guy behind Aaron Rodgers, because I think Daniel Jones gets franchise tagged. Like, and people are waiting to see how all these things shake out. But if it's just Derek Carr and Jimmy G that are completely free, and like Teddy and Dalton and all these other guys, like, Derek Carr's at the top of the list. He's gonna do fine. He's gonna make a lot of money.
If you're deciding between Rodgers and Carr, I get it with the ceiling, but I think Carr is also younger, he's cheaper, you wouldn't lose any draft picks at all, and who knows how much longer Aaron Rodgers is even going to play for.
Right. Life is short, though. I just feel like
it's true, too.
Jets are in kind of like a let's live and let live.
Right. What could go wrong? He's not as good as Rodgers. He's struggles in cold weather.
Sure.
He's a little bit sensitive, as we know. There are reasons.
But you don't think Aaron Rodgers is sensitive, though?
They're different types. I think Rodgers is just like in his own planet at this point. But I hung a little like emoji, a bronze medal emoji over the Derek Carr story this weekend on Twitter, because I do want Rodgers first, and then I'm kicking the tires on Lamar if that's a possibility. He would be my number two choice, and then Carr. And I think this actually works out well for the Jets with Derek Carr taking his time. It's giving opportunity for the Rodgers thing to play out, which is probably connected. So they don't get put in a situation.
Forget Lamar. Put Lamar, by the way, number one with a bullet on your Jets wish list.
I get that. I mean, are you saying what you think it should be, or what do you think the Jets would choose? Because I think I kind of feeling that they would be like fall in love with the idea of Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback. I'm not saying it's the right move, but
I think, I think if Lamar was available, I think that
the compensation involved with all this stuff matters too. Like if Rodgers is like a first, and the Jets get a fourth back or something, and Lamar is like three firsts or two firsts and a second, that matters too to me a little bit. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Let's move on. It's all going to play out.
One way
soon-ish
or another.
Maybe, right?
Pretty soon.
Yeah.
It's February 21st. By March 21st, all these quarterbacks will have new homes. All the major free agents will be done with. It's all going to happen pretty quick.
Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, Bob McGinn. Now, Bob McGinn, for years, covered the Packers for the Sentinel over there. And he's also known widely for his draft coverage. And he spoke about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers and their relationship. And McGinn, who is plugged in, Greggy, says he believes that Green Bay is, quote, done with Aaron Rodgers, and Jordan Love will be the team starter in 2023. He added that the team is, quote, disgusted with Rodgers.
Wow.
And they feel that he didn't put enough effort leading into the 2022 season, maybe a
another
little bit out of shape.
Another reason why, like, Lamar. Like, at this point, Lamar's in his prime. I would
fair.
Really, yeah.
Well, Lamar, well, he's got injuries, though. He can't stay
on
the field.
Last
couple of years.
I don't care.
It's a kind of a tricky decision. There's layers to it. Anyway, I know we trust McGinn, Greg. This kind of is in conflict with a prediction you had a couple of weeks ago, I think. I think you were saying Rodgers will ultimately go back in your mind. Do you still feel that way, or do you think this is heading towards Divorceville?
Now I feel that a divorce is happening. I mean, McGinn knows certainly a lot better than I do. And I think Jordan Love is a quarterback they actually want to see play, that they're excited about him, that they think he got better. McGinn even threw it out there that if Rodgers insisted on returning, they'd make him the backup to Love.
That was the wildest part of the whole story.
That's like
what?
Almost as a punishment. Of
Aaron Rodgers would take
that
beautifully.
Yeah.
He would go into a 7-year darkness retreat and say, you will pay me anyway.
I think but if they were ready to move on with him, they would act like how they've acted. They're not going to say they're disgusted with him. They're just going to stay quiet about it and see what the best offer is.
Unless they're telling McGinn this to put it out there and then
I don't think so. In this case, I can't see that they would want this out there. He just says he's not coming back. He said, based on everything he knows about the team, his experience, and then people who would be in a position to know, that they're just like, they're ready. They're ready for a new start, just like they were all those years ago when the same exact thing happened with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. It's really crazy.
Wild. And it would make sense with all the flowery pieces that are coming out about Jordan Love and how impressed they are with him and everything else.
I think this is happening. I think he's going to be on the Jets now. I'm kind of – didn't you put a sandwich on it?
I did, I believe.
Because I don't know – I don't see another team that's, like, just going to jump up and make this all happen as quickly and easily as the Jets. I just think the Jets are going to be that team.
Yeah, like the Panthers. But he's going to want to go somewhere –
Washington,
he wants to go somewhere with like some juice.
Daniel Jones had a nice transition. Daniel Jones had a nice ending to the 2022 season. I don't know, my radar's just up on this one a little bit, but really cutting down on his mistakes, and was a better player and better coaching with Brian Daboll made him a pretty solid starter for the Giants, and they had a surprisingly effective season, made it to the second round of playoffs and all that. Now he's a free agent because they declined the option, the fifth-year option before last season, the new leadership. He is changing agencies. He's switching agents. He wants up to $45 million a year. Daniel Jones wants up to
reportedly
$45 million. Reportedly.
I question why this would get out there. It would probably come from the agent that he fired, is
from
my
CAA,
guess. Yes, 1,000%. That, like, this is how unreasonable.
Listen, I would. You don't have to put in a report. I'll say it. I would like $45 million a year.
Yeah.
Reportedly, like it's. I'm sure that's what he wants. Whether he gets
it
or not.
I'll take one. Let's go. Let's just put it
Start
out there,
there
into the universe.
Yes, the franchise tag would cost it. The non-exclusive tag would cost the Giants just over $32 million. So that's where things are. And is it heading that way, Greg? Is that was this heading towards franchise tag? And is that what does that mean for Saquon Barkley, who's also a free agent with the Giants?
Yeah, there's like a lot of like New York Post articles. It's like, oh, this Daniel Jones is getting too big for his britches. You know, it's like he's just trying to get money.
That's the lead of every story.
Yeah, he's just trying to get money. And it is interesting that he would fire his agents. But I just think he was always going to be headed to the franchise tag in my mind, that the Giants were going to see if he would sign sort of an in-between, like Ryan Tannehill, Derek Carr type of deal. Because if he was with like maybe 2 to 3 years of guarantees, they would sign him if he wanted that. And that is a risk that he's passing on, let's say, $70, $80 million guaranteed. But they aren't going to give him the big one. And otherwise, they're happy to give him the tag. And I think that's what's going
to
happen.
Yeah. I mean, clearly, to me, he wanted more money than CAA was able to get for him. And so that's why he's going to Athletes First. And that's why CAA probably leaked this. But, I mean, it's interesting that he's switching agents at this point. I don't know where they're going to go with this, if they're going to end up tagging him or not. But it feels like, to me, he's not going to get the money that he wants. They're probably going to tag him. And then Saquon's going to walk.
Kind of lets them not give Saquon the contract that I don't think they want to give him anyways.
Right. You know, if I was starting my own agency, I was thinking, like, do I like the name Athletes First? It's fine. But I would call it People First. Because they're more than just athletes.
And then
you kind of just elbow drop off the top turnbuckle your rival.
Oh, Athletes First is taking a big dirt
nap.
Yeah,
they take a dirt nap. And then, you know, if you're looking to choose, like, you know, oh, am I just a player? Like, no, I'm a person. I go to People First. What's your thought?
I think it's a beautiful thought. It's
human
good branding.
First? Would Human First be better?
Well, then you get a little, I don't know.
Okay.
Humans first.
Exactly.
Would you rather have Daniel Jones humans. Or Derek Carr if you were ranking a top 101 free agents?
The player or the human?
The player. Who would you rather sign? Who would you rather have in a vacuum on a list that I'm writing?
I'm sorry, Daniel Jones or Derek Carr, you said?
Oh, I love this exercise.
Yeah, I thought a lot about it yesterday.
I guess I'm going to say Derek Carr because, again, watching all the Giants games, that was kind of a nice ending to the season for Daniel Jones, but he was kind of just Daniel Jones to me for most of the year before that.
He also didn't have any receivers.
That's the thing.
Okay.
But he had a better
– And Derek Carr has never had a defense, so I feel like the two quarterbacks have dealt with
I would take, I know Carr is older, but Carr is still pretty young. He's still 31. He turns 32 soon. But it's a good one. Where are you leaning?
Right now I'm back to Jones, but I've gone back and forth just because I feel like there might be another level he can get to. And I think they're both at a very similar, not replacement level starting quarterback, but that kind of like Dalton scale right around the line. Middle, lower of the pack.
And that's why you want to be an NFL starting quarterback, because just being a little bit better than average gets you $35 to $45 million dollars
a year. That's why he's not getting the 45, though. I don't think he would have that sort of market from other teams either.
All right, let's take a break and then wrap things up.
I would put humans last.
Oh, my God,
the revolution begins.
No. Pull the
plug. Get her out of here.
Pull the plug. This is not good. This is not good. Eventually, that plug is not going to be.
This is
us.
What Bridget did.
there's the tank wound. In your right forearm. It's healing up nicely. You
know, it is. I have it like a, what's it called? The fang tooth. Yeah. I have the fang tooth mark there. Yeah. So that's cool. That's
the saddest part about this whole thing, though, is because, you know, Connie's a dog lover.
Right.
And we were out celebrating Wes a couple weeks ago, remember? Right. In Culver City, and you know, there's a lot of dogs around. And then seeing you now.
Oh, man, I know.
Once a great lover of dogs, and you still are, but now afraid of the dogs, understandably, is sad.
I've taken it so really sucks. Many L's.
Craig, do you have to bring up everything?
My love for
that
dogs.
Pops in your head?
It's
she doesn't
still,
need this.
Still there, but I am quite terrified. I went to a party, a house party on Saturday night, and they had a quite big dog there. And the dog came up to me, and it was just like what happened at Christmas. There was a lot of people there, and the dog came up and started sniffing me. And the hair on the back of my neck was just standing on end. Like, and I had chills, and I wanted to like run the other way.
You hear that, Bridget?
But we're good. We're good.
Sometimes it's good to talk about it. Maybe this is like the most Jewish thing about me.
I'm airing it out.
You talk it out.
Break
you talk. You talk.
Breaking bread over here.
This is good. Yeah. I've been sitting Shiva the past week, so.
Is there anything else about Colleen's life that you want to get into?
Well, it also introduces, you know, the personal to the listener. They really appreciate that.
Yes, let me share everything.
My
dog. Can you imagine living with me?
my dog, my puppy, the captain.
Yeah.
Like, it's not Edge, it's the Edge, it's the captain.
Okay.
He's a little nippy. He's got the puppy nips.
Yeah, they're different.
So I'm going to keep you clear of him, and I'm going to train him with very, Ganon-like ferocity.
Okay, that's good. Puppy nips are different, though, because they have, like, the teeny tiny little sharp teeth. And, like, they hurt, but they're not scary. They're not going to, like, maul your arm.
Yeah, sometimes I get a little puppy nip, like I'll be on a run, and these little...
You get a nip.
I've had two different puppy nips in the last like 2 years, and I'm just like, get control of your little. I mean, they're on a leash, but they're just.
So you are you coming in maybe a little too tight?
There's traffic and stuff, but no. I mean, I'm trying to go onto the grass, and they're on the sidewalk. There's
I
only
did used
so
to
much
hate
room.
When we would walk our dogs in Santa Monica, and someone would come up running behind them because Dasher is a little bit of a head case, and it was always like a little like, oh my gosh.
I don't do anything either. I don't
Craig
say
gets
anything.
Very close to the dog, just like gives it a little nudge as he runs by.
I give the owner a little look afterwards, just like, come on.
Greg's barking.
A
at the
WTF?
Dogs.
So you're running, you turn around and like give like a WTF look, and then keep going.
Yeah.
Nice.
It just kind of like.
Are you on the left guy?
On your left?
Yeah.
No.
How about that?
No.
How about you become that guy?
What is this, a kitchen? Like, this is. This is ridiculous.
Hands.
I try to stay away, but sometimes you can't.
All right. We'll be right back.
It's backyard barbecue season, so light up the charcoal or fire up the propane and throw some burgers on the grill. Some people like cheeseburgers, others like hamburgers, and people will argue about pickles until the cows come home. But there's one thing that needs no debate, Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. It's so rich and creamy that it instantly makes any burger irresistible. You add Hellmann's, and boom, next level burgers, it's that easy. And then there's the side that every backyard burger cries out for, potato salad. Do you want to know the best secret ingredient? You've probably already guessed it, Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. There are two kinds of potato salad, deliciously irresistible, rich and creamy potato salad, and potato salad made without Hellmann's. It's up to you what you want to serve. For great recipe ideas, visit Hellmann's.com.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand, it's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products, it's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.
All right, welcome back. Let's wrap this up. A little OCDC section of the news. Eric Bieniemy does the thing that I think he had to do, obviously, where he is in his coaching career. He wants to be a head coach. And, you know, there are different factors involved in this, some more upsetting to discuss than others. But one of the factors here is Eric Bieniemy being the OC in Kansas City when Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback and Andy Reid is the primary play caller. He just wasn't going to get a big chair out of this. He wasn't going to get the promotion so many other OCs get when they're connected to a big-time team. So he leaves that setting and goes and takes a job with the Commanders as their new offensive coordinator. Your thoughts on that, Connie?
I hate that he had to move to hopefully one day get the elevated job that he deserves, but I'm happy that he did it and he's taking that chance. I think it's a bummer that he had to leave a successful organization, though.
Is it unprecedented? Has this happened
promoted like
in recent
this?
Memory?
I don't know.
Leaving a spot like that
and making a lateral move.
And obviously the other side of this is the NFL has a very bad history, recent history as well. Not just extended history of black head coaches getting opportunities as head coaches. And that's been part of the conversation around Bieniemy for, I feel like, years now.
Years.
Greg. Not
right.
Just
and
this
you,
past offseason.
And like the thing of being under Andy Reid is like, that is what usually guarantees you a job.
Right.
Like Brad Childress gets a job. Matt Nagy gets a job.
Look at all the years from Sean McVay and all of his assistants that got jobs.
Right. But in Reid even specifically
just
has
Reid
had,
specifically,
had
yeah.
so many. Now, you know, it's upsetting. It's tricky. Like Bomani Jones, I've heard him talk about it, that sometimes focusing on Bieniemy specifically is almost a fool's errand, because like maybe there is something specific to Eric Bieniemy. He's had all these opportunities for whatever reason, and that focusing on that, it's a league which hires white guys on mm-hmm. offense in general, and nepotism and what you can do structurally, like that's a better thing to focus on than just specifically Bieniemy. But it is crazy because I just feel like if he goes to Washington and their offense is awesome, he's going to get a job. So it's like,
yeah,
I guess we'll see.
Right.
I hope that happens.
I guess
I would love for that to
but
happen.
But even that is weirdly embarrassing.
It is.
It's weird. It's unusual the way it all played out. And speaking of the Commanders, Ron Rivera said that Sam Howell, their second-year quarterback, will, quote, start out as QB1 heading to the offseason. Greg, that strikes me as classic offseason pre-free agency draft hokum. The incumbent guy that's still on the depth chart, he's our guy. I feel very strongly they will come out of this with a veteran starter or I guess a high draft pick. That's where I stand. I don't think Hal sniffs the week one job personally.
They've come out so hard with this that I think there's a chance.
Really?
Right. Yeah.
I'll put sandwiches on that.
Save it.
So I think they are really saying we are not going to be in the big kids pool for these quarterbacks. We're not in the Derek Carr, Aaron Rodgers pool. Or else they've come out strong like multiple times saying this. Howell did look very intriguing in that week 18 game, and they did see him for the whole season in practice. Now he's like a later round pick, so that's surprising, but he also is a guy that at one point people thought would be a top 10 pick, and he does have incredible skills as a runner and like as a big arm. So it's like, it's not that crazy. I could see them signing like a Teddy type and making Howell the likely the one. Just because they've come out. Why has he come out so hard saying this over and over? He said it like in multiple different interviews in different ways.
That's I feel like any time a team has done that, it's this time of year. And the harder they go in on a player, the more unlikely it is that that player is going to be in the spot that they're saying.
I'm usually with you, but it's usually with someone they feel like they owe something to, or that was a high pick. And so they're just saying it to like placate this guy's ego, mm-hmm. or just to like throw people off the scent. But why would they be doing that with Sam Howell?
I don't know.
I want to go back through like old shows and see this time of year and see from like the news and stuff, because I have a bunch of stuff saved, and just see all of the different examples of when this has happened.
Yeah, this is a good example. This one, we shall see. I think about what was it? I talked about it with Mark a bunch of time in our early Around the League blog days before the then Redskins drafted Robert Griffin III. Mike Shanahan famously came out and said that he was completely comfortable with Rex Grossman
and John Beck.
And John Beck, as he'll stake his career, he said, on these two men going forward. And then they go and trade their entire draft basically to get a rookie quarterback.
Right.
I wouldn't call it like a lie if they end up going in a different direction. It just feels like this is how things go sometimes.
He was just very specific about the veteran part of it. And so that just told me that I don't think they're going to get into the Lamar, Aaron Rodgers, Geno, Daniel Jones, Derek Carr area of the pool.
Yeah.
It's going to be like a Jake Brisket, or it's going to be a rookie. Maybe they're throwing people off the scent.
Which is kind of their brand. They like to get like the mid-tier starter on somewhat of a discount and hope they catch lightning in the bottle. Perhaps they'll do it again. Perhaps they're sick of doing that.
Here's the thing, though. Sam Howell could be a real thing. I know not many people watched that game.
Right.
But he was very intriguing in that game. And he has an intriguing skill set that no one less than Spice Rack, our friend, Brad Spicer, believes
Spicy.
In.
Peppermill,
believes
as
in.
I like to call
he
him.
He believes in the fifth rounder.
Here's the thing, though. He was kind of supposed to be – like, a lot of people had him as a better prospect than almost anyone in that class.
Why'd he fall?
Is this gonna
it
be
was
like
a bad QB class on top of it.
Is this going to be like a Brock Purdy situation where he just surprises everyone?
Would be great news for Washington.
It would be.
Speaking, you mentioned Matt Nagy, the former Bears coach. He is expected to replace Eric Bieniemy as the OC in Kansas City. All right, let's see. The Ravens hire Todd Monken as their OC, formerly of the Bucks. The Bucks hire Geno Whisperer Dave Canales as their OC. Frank Reich hires Thomas Brown as OC. And Jim Caldwell, Josh McCown, Deuce Staley, and Connie, your good friend, D. Hall, also on that staff.
Quite a staff there. Caldwell, Josh McCown, Deuce Staley, D. Hall. Thomas Brown was the Rams assistant head coach, who a lot of people thought very highly of.
I want them to be on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, that could be a fun one.
Deuce Staley?
I know, I'm surprised.
Deuce?
Why did he leave Detroit?
I don't know. Wait a second, I'm just realizing that too.
Yeah. He was so great on Hard Knocks, and he was a very, you know, well, let's see. He was an assistant coach and the running back coach.
Uh-huh.
And maybe with Ben Johnson having that big year and Dan Campbell being established there, maybe he wants to find his own niche. I don't know.
Campbell had made some changes on that staff. I don't think he was going to fire Deuce Staley, but usually when there's like a lateral move, it's something where Staley's got a relationship with Reich
and would rather
be with him, but also that the other staff maybe like he's not feeling himself.
Right.
Like, for instance, this isn't in this news, and we can circle back if you wanted to any of those, but like the Chargers defensive coordinator, Ronaldo Hill, left to go work under Vic Fangio in Miami, even though that's not even a lateral move. No. It actually seems like going down.
Speaking of very unusual, I was going to mention that.
Wow. Yeah. Right, but I think it's just like he likes working for Vic. He probably did not like working for Brandon Staley, and it just wasn't a match.
That was my first instinct, was like, man, that's not the greatest look for Brandon Staley, that your DC takes a demotion to leave the team. I mean, the most direct path to become a head coach, and that's the dream of so many of these guys, is to be a coordinator, and then you jump up. It doesn't have to be that way. Guys get head coach jobs all the time, not in the DC OC chair, but it's the most traditional next step to leave that position and go down a notch. That's interesting to me. It tells me a little bit, Greggy, about what internally some of the coaching staff feels about where Staley is as a coach, where that organization could be in the near future.
And the culture. I mean, think about anywhere that you've worked before that has like a toxic environment. It's not helpful at all. It's not fun to be around. No one likes to be in that. So
right.
If that is a component, then it makes complete sense.
And it might be taking it too far to believe that it was toxic or anything like that. He might have been losing his job. Deuce Staley mm-hmm. might have been losing his job, and it's a close-knit coaching community, and they try to avoid firing if at all possible. So if you can like get another job elsewhere, then it's like you never have to announce the firing. They're all from the same staff. Staley, or from the same tree. Staley used to work for Fangio too. So, but he also is like, it is.
You're absolutely
I think everything
right.
you're saying is also worth considering.
You're absolutely right. But it is interesting when the jump without there being a firing involved or mm-hmm. a contract lapsing mm-hmm. involved goes, you know, you go down the ladder a notch.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. And you mentioned Fangio. He is hired by the Dolphins as their DC. He's 64 years old. He's very good at that job. And Miami's defense took a step back once Flores exited last year. So that's a good hire for the Dolphins. I don't want the Dolphins to take the next step as a Jets fan, but I feel like their defense will be better with Vic there.
That was a great hire. He was spitting fire, too, on his opening press conference. He's like, yeah, like Bradley Chubb, like,
I like that
Jalen
guy.
Phillips. We'll see. Like, they have potential, but they got to show what they're doing. It's like,
uh-oh.
You just gave Bradley Chubb a $100 million contract, and he used to be your player. Didn't play that well for Fangio. It's like he's already getting into fights. The one thing, the most interesting one of it, Canales will be interesting mm-hmm. for the Bucks. He was the quarterback coach of Seattle. We don't really know. But Monken's been around. Big play guy.
Mm-hmm.
Was in college, was the Georgia offensive coordinator, big vertical throw offense, how mm-hmm. that mixes with Lamar. It's certainly a different type of offense if Lamar is there than the one they've had.
Let's wrap things up with Connie. A little odds and ends. Hit it.
Oh! Odds and ends, odds and ends. Hey, everybody, tell your friends. Odds and ends.
Oh! It took 4 years, but we did it.
Did you even know that was coming?
No, and I'm having
maybe that's part of it. Yeah.
And my allergies are bothering me, so my singing voice is just not here today.
Or is it?
Maybe it just started.
That was like Jordan, like that one game, right when he came back for the Wizards, he put up like 40, and then it was never good again. But
let's cut that for the Connie bot, because she's never going to do better than that one.
I wasn't sure what key to really start in, but we got there, guys.
Nailed it. All right, our buddy Aaron Jones, who was on the around the NFL Super Bowl shows from Media Row, he will be back in Green Bay. He will attempt to set the all-time rushing record for the Packers, which I told him is about 2.5 seasons away if he stays healthy. He takes a haircut, Connie, but he's back in Green Bay. Rex Ryan.
What's he doing these
he's
days?
He's been at ESPN the last few years doing the Sunday morning show, but it's like, you know, Rex should be on the sideline. Guess what? He's interviewing with the Denver Broncos about their vacant DC job. We'll see if that turns into something.
Oh,
and by the way,
Sean Payton,
the connection, you know, he did the TV over at Fox. They're veterans. Fox sent out an awkward tweet congratulating.
I feel naked right now without the afternoon delight. I feel like we need afternoon delight.
All right, hit it.
Okay. There we go.
Sorry.
And Mike Westhoff, our buddy. Our friend.
How about it?
He just put out a book talking about I had a legendary career as special teams. I'm the GOAT. He was on our show last summer. Here's a little excerpt.
For him to write a letter like that was totally inappropriate. And so I blew up.
That's Westhoff burying Bill Parcells on our podcast,
in
which
a
is
big
fun.
Spot.
That was such a good ad.
He's the special teams coach over there now. That's awesome. Westhoff is back. And Matt Ryan, Greggy. This makes so much sense to me. I could picture Matt Ryan in a suit, a little bit stiff, delivering very, you know, solid, if not spectacular, analysis in a booth somewhere.
People said he was good. He was on a pregame show. I don't even remember which one it was. I didn't see it.
A rich man's Trent Green, perhaps.
Right. I think maybe like the new Rich Gannon, who I always thought was good, who had good, solid quarterback takes. Matt Ryan.
Every time I've interviewed him, he's been fantastic.
Okay. He might be better than we're giving him credit for.
Maybe. Yep. Maybe. I'm picturing it, and it makes sense that he's in a booth.
And quietly, Oh, that means he's retiring, by the way.
Oh, please.
They have to retire. They have to release him, by the way.
Buddy.
Will he join the Hall of Fame with Tom Brady, the man?
Oh, don't.
Once broke his heart. Probably not. Oh, definitely not.
Wow. Let's
not
do that.
Not a first-year guy.
I think Matt Ryan. Ooh, is Matt Ryan a Hall of Famer? We'll get to it. He's going to retire soon. And finally, and that's odds and ends. Usually, Connie, and that's, you know, and that's odds and ends. Usually, Connie, we end with the song as well, but you just nailed it.
Exactly.
Why? Imagine not hitting it on the outro.
I can imagine it. I've done it many times. So
we don't need more disappointment.
Let's just let it be.
Yeah, you did it. And finally, before we say goodbye, we talked about a few weeks back, Gravedigger, the the idea, you know, because Jim Gray has a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and you know, Gray has had a tremendous career in broadcasting, but like, you know, okay, Jim Gray has got a star. So what about us? Can we get a star around the NFL on the Hollywood Walk of Fame? And you did some digging on this one. And where are we at on the ATN star update, Justin?
They are eagerly awaiting a $40,000 check. So if anyone wants to make
have to be approved first, though?
Yes.
Isn't the approval before the money?
Are we approved, I guess, is the question.
Anyone applied?
Yeah. Has an application been submitted?
We'll call it in process, I think, is probably the best way to describe that part of it. But yes.
Yeah, that sounds like a term.
Are you
paper.
A manager right now? What's happening?
In process. Let's get on this, Gravedigger.
Processing. Sort of like the whole guy thing is a long approval process that has to be.
Oh, yeah, right. It takes 6 to 8 weeks to process it.
Yeah. So we're on
and
it.
Just to make it clear to our audience, not that I feel like there's been any rush to do so, this is not a GoFundMe situation or anything like that. We do not want any fundraiser from the audience on this one. We want it to get to a point where the Hollywood Walk of Fame comes to us and says, hey, this one's on us.
That happens.
Join Hollywood Boulevard.
Sure.
Join Hollywood Boulevard.
All right. Good update. Oh, congratulations, by the way,
to
our buddy Matt Schneider, shadowy league figure himself.
Extraordinaire.
A good man. A father once again.
A boss.
To a beautiful, healthy baby girl.
That's great.
So
congrats. I didn't know that.
To Matt Schneider and, well, especially his wife.
Yeah.
The mom does... deserve really the congratulations.
You keep going.
I'm just saying. I've been through this twice myself, and it's like, congratulations, Dan. It's like, well, I didn't do anything.
I mean,
really? I mean, you know, months earlier, yes, I had played a role, but the mother deserved. Why am I talking?
I love this.
Congratulations,
keep going.
To Snyder.
Just digging a grave. Yes. Congrats to his wife Nicole for doing the hard work, and congrats to Sky Avery Schneider. I like that.
Oh, great name.
I like that name.
Good
awesome
one.
Job.
Sky Schneider.
Two kids under two. That's a lot of work.
I have no idea what that's like.
You do know what that's like, don't you?
What?
Don't you? Oh, you have a sibling that's close in age, right?
No.
Oh.
No.
All right, we are. Let's end this thing. We're not getting sharper as the episode goes
I've
along.
Never changed a diaper in my life. Like, I don't know anything about kids.
Thank you. Well, go over and visit Sky. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back Thursday. Until then, heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of the values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
Burgers are best fresh from the grill. Well, more specifically, burgers with Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. It's so rich and creamy that it instantly makes any burger irresistible. And what backyard barbecue is complete without some potato salad? Not just any potato salad, of course. Potato salad highlights the rich, creamy goodness of Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. So if you want to take your barbecue season to the next level, stock up on Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. For great recipe ideas, visit Hellmann's.com.